Again, we are here to listen to His word, to heed what He speaks to us, that we may receive it and obey it as it is His will. Before we pray, I would like to read a short psalm word from Psalm 105. Here it says, O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people, sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him, talk ye of all His wondrous works, glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works that He has done, His wonders, and the judgments of His mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, His servant, ye children of Jacob, His chosen. He is the Lord, our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He has remembered His covenant forever, the word which He commanded to a thousand generations, which covenant He made with Abraham, and His oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, Unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. When they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, He suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, He reproved kings for their sakes, saying, Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Up to here, these precious sayings of God, or the man of God. We have read the words many times, and when we read them, we ponder them again and again. And here we are called upon, and all the people, praise the Lord, call on His name, make His deeds known among the nations. We are obliged to tell people what the Lord has done for you and for me. We are obliged to bring them the good that God has done for all of us. Not that we go and tell people some incredible things and things that are arbitrary to us, but what the Lord has done for us. And we should remember the deeds, all the deeds that the Lord has done for us and is still doing today. I think that we as believers, if we do indeed believe God with all our heart, then we cannot help but tell people what God has done for us in our time, what He has bestowed on us. And then, beloved, we cannot help but sing praises and play to our God and praise His glorious name. If we don't do it, for whom He has done so much, then who will? And I would like to say, we don't just want to do it with our lips, but from the depths of our hearts, with full conviction. Yes, we want to praise His name and bring Him glory. And then it says, Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Yes, we have taken on His name in baptism, and we should rejoice that we are His own, not only for time, but for all eternity. Yes, We have then received eternal life with him. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Yes, that is the point. Brothers and sisters, it is not a habit, but we come together all the time to seek the face of our God, to worship him, to praise him, because he is wonderful. He is so good to us. Tonight too, I certainly believe that he has much to say to us. Remember his marvelous works that he has done. We have to repeat it again and again. And again and again, God has said that God's people should not forget all the things he has done. And we read it here last weekend, as it was said to the people of God. It was probably in Exodus that they should not forget what God had done and how he had gone before them and how he had led them out of Egypt. They were to tell their children and their children's children. Have you read the word? Yes. And here the psalmist says, remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Yes, even in our days, he has performed signs and given judgments. Everything that the mouth of God speaks, whether it is judgments or the glorious thoughts of salvation, or the glorious word, or the mysteries that he makes known, everything he says, he fulfills, he carries out. And we are so glad that we can share in all that he has prepared for us in these days. Oh, ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. He is the Lord our God. Yes, that is a fact. We have no one else to come to. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. We see that more and more is coming, more and more. But praise and thanks, out of everything, the Lord will lift up his people and take them to himself. Wait, my soul, wait for the Lord. Commit everything to him, for he loves to help. Be of good cheer. Soon the morning will come, and a new spring will follow the winter, as this German poem goes. In all storms, in all adversity, he will protect you, the faithful God. Do we believe that? Brothers and sisters, we can believe this with all our hearts and call on his name and thank and praise him for all the good and loving things he has done. We are also grateful tonight that our dear brother Frank is back in our midst, and we are grateful for everyone who has come also tonight. May God bless us all is my prayer. Let us stand up now to pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you with all our hearts, also for this evening, for this day, for this hour. Lord, we thank you that we may come before you with glorious songs of praise, that we may praise you, Lord, for you are our God, as we have read. And so we believe that you hear us tonight and that you have already heard us. Lord, we are waiting for you tonight. We have come again and we call to mind all the great things that you have accomplished in our days, among your people, in this world, among men. You have revealed and manifested yourself in a mighty way. You sent your servant and prophet with this message of the end times. Lord, we thank you. We praise your marvelous name and pray to you that you will also come to your right tonight, in my life, in all our lives. Faithful Lord Jesus, I ask you, to take away everything that stands in your way, that can hinder you, that can hinder your blessing. Clear out of us. We want to open ourselves completely to you so that you can fill us with your blessing, with your good Holy Spirit. We need you, Lord, more and more every day. We need your divine power also tonight. My brothers, my sisters, we all need your presence. My brother, who will bring your word, Lord, he needs your divine power. All of us, Lord, we look up to you and come with bowed hearts and ask you, Lord, to speak to us mightily and also to reveal yourself in a mighty way. O Lord, we also bring to you all brothers and sisters everywhere in all places, Lord, wherever they may be. And we also bring to you all need, Lord. You know every heart. You know the condition of each one. We lay everything before you and ask you, Lord, to give us grace also tonight to speak, but also to listen, Lord. Give it to me. Give it to us, O Lord. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Always faithful to Jesus. Faithful to his cross until we go home. Always faithful to Jesus. Faithful to him. Faithful to his cross until we go home. Praise and thanks be to the Lord. In the end, all those who have remained faithful will be crowned. Those who persevere to the end. And we know that the last stretch of the road is probably the most difficult, the steepest, the thorniest. But at the end of this road, the pearly gates will open for all those who have been faithful. We sang in the last song, only where there is doubt does the enemy grow new courage. We have no reason to doubt. Someone once said, brother so-and-so, do you ever doubt? He said, yes, I admit it openly. I doubt too. But I want to tell you what I doubt, namely my doubts. And I thought to myself, that was quite good. He doubted his own doubts, but not God's word. I said it on purpose so that nobody would think it came from me. It was said by an American brother. But it had a lot to say to me. If we could doubt God and God's word, it would be almost unforgivable, because God is true. And in all his doings, he is faithful. He is trustworthy. He is credible. What he has promised, he certainly keeps. He even says in his word that if we would be unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Nor can he deny us, for his faithfulness is certain. And God has people who will never forget what He has done for them. And I dare say, those who have forgotten, God still has something to do for them. And since I know what Brother Branham said, that on the one hand, it is possible to be blessed in the second realm with all the blessings and to be anointed with the Holy Spirit without the soul being touched by it. Since then, I understand some things better, and many a riddle has been solved. You all know, He drew the three circles, and the innermost part of man is the soul. God created man, and man became a living soul. But the second realm is the spiritual realm, and in this realm, all blessings, every operating of every gift, everything can be there. And I openly admit, how often do you think I broke out in a sweat just because Brother Branham said so forcefully, speaking in tongues is by no means proof that you are children of God. I had to translate a lot of things, and I had a hard time myself with what I had to translate, and couldn't quite categorize it. But since we translated the sermons that were preached after the opening of the seals, many things have spoken to me, and I could see light shining here and there. All blessings are biblical and are good, but it still depends on the seed that is in our soul. The rain is rain, but the seed is seed, and the rain brings forth the seed that is there. And this is a truth that the Lord even expressed in the Sermon on the Mount, when He said, God makes His sun shine on the evil and the good, sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. The rain falls on everyone, but the decision lies in the soul. And that makes me think of yesterday. A phone call came from Berlin, from a lady who comes from the Catholic Church and is possibly still in it, but she attends a Pentecostal church and has heard some things, and someone gave her sermons by Brother Branham, and she read them very briefly and realized straight away that the direction taken there was back towards Rome. And she called me and said, I'm still very new to this thing of William Branham, but this much I have realized, that the church so-and-so is going back to Rome, and I want out. I'm looking for the truth. Yes, I thought, what is this? And we see that God has His way, no matter where people are, who they are. When the Word of God goes out to them, they may belong to Islam, they may belong to Hinduism, or to any Christian religion. The moment God makes a claim on their lives, they no longer belong anywhere, but they belong to God, who has purchased them dearly through the blood of the Lamb. And then they find their way with God. She called again today, twice, and was overwhelmed. I wish that God would still call people out, even in our country. When I see the crowds in other countries who come together to hear the word of the Lord, I'm not concerned with the masses, but I want to see the heavens full and the last ones still have to be called. And we do that with joy, looking up to God. Sometimes I don't know myself how it is all going to be, but God gives the strength. And then brothers come and shake my hand and say, "Brother Frank, I give you my word. I have stood by it from the beginning and will stand by it to the end." That God has called you and that you are working by His commission. Many people come. You all know that I too am only human, and sometimes it does me good to be encouraged. I am very grateful to the Lord for all of you. I have no words to express it, but the fact that God has ensured that His work can continue to be done is not something I take for granted. It is by the grace of God, and He alone deserves all the thanks and worship for it. Let us now look briefly at the Word. We have been told that we should pass on what God has done, and how could we conceal it? How could we hide what God has done? I was talking to someone recently about the ministry of Brother Branham, and the person said, "Yes, this one also said that Brother Branham's ministry has been a great blessing to him." And that was the end of it. A blessing to many. But to whom it is a real, divine, lasting, eternal help, that through the ministry we have seen the outstretched hand of our God and have heard the speaking of God in all the speaking, and know that it was not only about blessings, but about the calling out, the preparation and completion of the Church of the Lord. And then it is always very easy for me to say that many have gone out and many have preached and will still preach, but that only one man was sent by God with a divine message. And you all know, only those whom God has appointed can believe that. Everyone else will say, "Our preacher has his Bible school," and everyone knows exactly what to say, but that's no longer the point. God's people have a right to hear what God has to say to us. And just because someone talks about God doesn't mean God is talking through them, but God has chosen His men through whom He can speak. Everyone can talk about God, but the question is whether God can speak through them. We have read here from Psalm 105 and also mentioned Deuteronomy. I had to think of Joel, the prophet who speaks of the restoration, and the same wording is there too, that it should be told to the children. Joel chapter 1, verse 2, and then from verse 13. "Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Has this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. So, one should tell of what God has done, the parents to the children, and the children to their children. Yes, children's children should hear about what God has done. But then the deviation is brought, and in verse 13 we read, gird yourselves and lament, ye priests. Howl, ye ministers of the altar. Come, lie all night in sackcloth, ye ministers of my God. For the meat offering and the drink offering is withholden from the house of your God. Sanctify ye a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord. This also is the word of God. Before the restoration is promised and brought before us, in chapter 2, verse 25, we are told this word, that we should assemble in the house of God and cry out to the Lord God, who has withholden the drink offering to his house. Then it says in verse 25, and I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I send among you. And ye shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. We know the word from the prophet Isaiah, and also the explanation given to us in the book of Acts and in the letters. No one shall be put to shame who trusts in the Lord. And the hymn writer sings, shall I be the first to be put to shame? No, that is impossible, thou faithful refuge. The heavens will fall before I am deceived by your word, as the song goes. And so we believe that God's word is just as true as God. And just as God cannot be explained, neither can his word be explained. But just as you can believe his word, you can also experience God. That's the thing. God has placed everything on the biblical foundation of faith. In the past few days, I've had to think about how all the prophets and apostles have been walking around with their doctorates and professorships, didn't they? Dr. Simon Peter, Dr. Paul, Dr. Moses, Professor Joshua, and so forth. Who were these men of God? Who were they? Farmers, shepherds. Amos said, I am not a prophet at all. I am a gatherer of sycamore fruit, But the Lord has called me. And what was it? How often have we heard about the times of revival? Farmers didn't have time to wash their hands. They came to the service with dirty hands, but with a clean heart, and God revealed Himself, and God blessed. And what happened? A great deal. I still remember it very well. A good 20 years ago, anyone who was called by God could preach in the Pentecostal churches. Today, it's all very different. At first, Bible school was introduced, and anyone who felt called was allowed to go to Bible school. But then it was raised. There were too many who didn't pass their test. And then came the secondary school certificate. And after that comes the high school certificate. And we all know what comes after that. But the men of God were very simple people who had experienced God, and they knew who they believed in, and they knew that they were not preaching their word, but the word of God. What do you think if Moses had gone there as the shepherd who kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, all the sheep around him, and then said, "I'm Dr. Moses." I wonder what that would have been. All these servants of God. Just remember Brother Branham's sermon. God revealed in simplicity that which the world regards as wise, God has long since made out to be foolishness, and the rest He will still make out to be foolishness. But that which is nothing before the world, He has made noble. Sons and daughters of God, kings, a royal priesthood, He made of those who trust and believe in Him. Who are we? What have we done to deserve all this? Nothing but wrath have we deserved. That's how a hymn writer sings. And shall I found favor with God? And at the end, the song says, it's mercy and nothing else. Beloved, it is important to me that all those who still hear God's word also experience God. It's of no use in merely preaching the word without experiencing God. The proclamation of the word of God must be linked to an experience with God. Otherwise, the proclamation was not intended to accomplish what it was sent to do. And it came to me all of a sudden when I was reading in the book of Acts today. I haven't even read it yet, but only then did I read it. And it was the story of Paul's conversion. Here I would like to read from Acts 9, and I'm mainly interested in verse 11. But I read 10 and 11. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. Let us stop at this word. For behold, he prayeth. The Lord had spoken to him. He had an encounter with the Lord. No discussion with those around him. For behold, he prayeth. This prayer prompted God to act. This prayer was the preliminary stage to the experience with God that was then actually granted to him. For behold, he prayeth. It doesn't even say he's about to consecrate his life to God. He's about to convert. For behold, he prayeth. An experience with God means that we are driven into prayer. He didn't pray voluntarily. He has been sent out to persecute the saints and put them in prison and so forth. But this first encounter with the Lord caused him to begin to pray. And so God had the opportunity to do the rest that still needed to be done in him. He could send someone. He was prepared for it through prayer. He was attuned to it. And God could send someone so that the real conversion could take place. For behold, he prayeth. And because he prayed, God acted and said to one of his servants, "Arise and go into the city, into the house of the name so-and-so, and inquire there about the man Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth." Where people are really addressed by the Lord, there is no more room for discussion. We lose all arguments. We are led into prayer in the presence of God. And the moment we begin to pray, God opens the door to reveal himself to us. Because at first, Saul had only been addressed. That was the beginning. But the Lord's speaking had the effect of driving him into prayer. My main concern was that the speaking of the Lord should cause us to begin to pray. The speaking of the Lord, the triggering of prayer, and then God's answer, no longer through a word, but through an experience. That is the order here. For when Ananias laid his hands on him, something happened. He simply said in verse 17, "And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hands on him and said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost.'" That was the answer. Let's not forget the order. The Lord had spoken to him. That was the first step. The second, he was brought into an inner distress. He began to pray. And God began to act and said to one of his servants, "Go and lay your hands on him," and so forth. For behold, he prayeth. And this prayer was then answered by an experience with God. God does not answer twice by speaking. God speaks once and gives the promise. Then we pray, and then God does not repeat the promise again, but then he speaks through the fulfillment of the promise. Then he gives what he has promised. It is not a repetition of the Lord's words, but the experience with God. And the answer was that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. It was ordained by God in this way, and I mean, that is the right way. If the Lord has spoken to us and we have been led into prayer, then there is no other way but for God to answer. And I say once again, not again with words, but with the experience that he has promised to those who have become believers. And I think that after we have heard the Lord speak so much, it should lead us, drive us into prayer, so that God could answer by grace. There was another man who began to pray. That was Daniel. Let me just read that from Daniel 10, from verse 11. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Here we have two scriptures, one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament. There a man prayed to whom the Lord spoke, and he experienced God in an original Christian way, as it was in the original at the beginning. Here it is Daniel, a man of God, who also went into prayer. He had two concerns. The first was that he focused his mind on receiving instruction. Beloved, this is very important. There are too many today who set their minds on teaching others, and they never run out. Here is a prophet whose mind was not set on giving instruction, but on receiving instruction. That is the matter. To humble thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. Here we have two things. He had set his mind on receiving instruction, but he knew that in order for that to happen, He had to humble himself before his God. That was the second step. And then it says, thy words were heard. Both belong together. The instruction and the humiliation before God. God does not speak to us so that we lift up our noses. God speaks to us so that we bow down in the dust before Him, that He has even spoken to us who are dust. And here we have it, that thou didst set thine heart to receive instruction and to humble thyself before thy God. Thy words were heard. We too live in a prophetic age. We too have set our minds on receiving divine instruction for this time, whatever the Lord has to say to us. But the second step, after all, we have 2 feet with which we walk. And the second is humbling ourselves before the living God, whose instruction we await. And it is written, they will all be taught by God, and not one will have to teach another and say, brother, learn to know the Lord. But they will all know me, from the least to the greatest. This is the promise given by the Lord God. And here is this confirmation. Your words have been heard. And then this beautiful addition. I had set out to come because of thy prayer. There was a soul praying, and Ananias went on his way, and the Lord said to him, for behold, he prayeth. Here it is a prophet Daniel, who wants instruction, who humbles himself before God. His words have been heard. And here it says, I had set out to come to you because of thy prayer. I was moved by these 2 Bible passages just before the service today. And I think that was God's way with a Paul, with a Daniel, God's way with the prophets and apostles, with all his people. That is your way and my way with God. When the Lord has spoken to us, it should not just be a matter of talking. Prayer, desire, and longing should be expressed so that God's word can be fulfilled. And humiliation before God is part of this. It seems to give our words the necessary attractive force for our prayers to reach God. The Lord resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And it is written, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. And there is no other way left for prophets, apostles, me or you, than to humble ourselves before God, to want to receive instruction, to go into prayer, and then we have the certainty that God will hear us. Beloved, I believe the Lord has spoken to us, and inwardly we feel the urge to pray, and yet we are sometimes inhibited. What is still holding us back? As we read earlier in Joel, come together in the house of the Lord, your God, together with the priests, and there is even the word cry. Well, we don't want to advise anyone to do that, but if it should happen, then we don't want to prevent anyone from doing so, because the Spirit of God can also cause such a cry of distress to come out of a person, which he did not plan, did not want, but which nevertheless comes forth. And then we want to be vigilant and not stand in the Lord's way. Let me read that again here. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God and cry unto the Lord. You all know that when someone has to cry out, the situation is very serious. Then it is very serious. And let's not fool ourselves. The situation is more serious than we can perhaps comprehend. And so, let this word of God speak to us by grace. Believe me, people to whom God speaks, God has something in mind for them. He wants to bless them. They shall experience what He has promised them. He does not speak to those with whom God has no plans. He does not let any desire arise in them. Because if God has worked a desire in us, He has undertaken to satisfy this desire. Is it true or not? Have we not heard it? As has been said, God could never have put thirst in man or in the animal world if there had not been water to quench the thirst. Everything that God does in us, what we ask for, what He puts the desire for in us, He has already provided for us to come to Him and receive it. Saul was doing well. I wish it would come to us all by grace. He didn't have to wait long. His hands were laid on him, and it was all in one sentence. Brother Saul, you shall receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. He was a chosen vessel. We believe that we belong to the chosen generation. It sounds like presumption to some, but we believe it with all our heart. And because we belong to it, the Lord has spoken to us, has awakened a longing in us through His word, and has caused this desperation, this prayer in us, and He wants to satisfy it by grace and give us the experience we are asking for. Blessed and praised be His holy name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now let us rise and pray indeed. Heavenly Father, we thank you together, also for this evening, for your precious and holy word, which you have brought before us again. May we not only have heard it, but may our hearts become grateful. May we too, Lord, come into this situation, that we, Lord, may be so moved by the power of your Holy Spirit, and that we may cry out, Lord, O Lord, make it a serious matter in our hearts, a need, Lord. For we see, Lord, the need is great enough, Lord. But, Lord, you are great enough to meet all need, Lord. Praise be to your name. We look up to you. We worship you. We give you thanks. We praise your name together tonight and give you the glory. Hallelujah. Lord, you are worthy to receive praise, honor, and glory and worship. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen.